Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to El Islam-based conversations. A lot going on in the world today. Some of it good, some of it not so good. But it is what it is, you know. And if we make adjustments and we practice our religion and make a real conscious effort to study the religion so we can become Islamic, have an Islamic education. It's many things are happening, especially now during the month of Ramadan, and then just seeing what's going on in the world around you, see what other people are doing in other cities and other communities. And I'm talking about Muslim communities, but just communities in general that are trying to keep God in their life, keep the direction that God wants us to be going in and doing and making our will in accord with Allah's will, with the Creator's will, with God's will. However you want to say it, it doesn't change that's the assignment, you know. That's what really makes things happen in a way that you can recognize that, you know, that was a blessing from God. That was help from God. That was a God sent, you know, when you can begin to say those things. Because you recognize it, you know. So just like now, I need to recognize and remind myself, as well as reminding you, of the promise that I have made and continue to make and continue to say to myself and to you, hoping that it's being heard in the context that I'm giving it. I'm not bragging. I'm simply putting a restriction, some incentive to do my best. See, and that is that. The program has in it the content that I try to share, but it's in the way where I am putting the emphasis on what I want to be heard, not robbing you of your thinking, but in indoctrinating you to my thinking. And just like we're seeing, or if y'all looked out and saw the solar eclipse. In the area that you were living, then you saw that you needed special glasses, and then you could see the eclipse. See, so in other words, you had to look through a certain lens to see the eclipse. And let me state it before I get too much on the eclipse or even on Ramadan or any of that. And that is I promise myself to make it known to you that this is a place where I'm not intentionally or even unintentionally going to waste your time and insult your intelligence. When I first started using this particular saying or refrain or mission statement, I really didn't know what I had. I just liked the way it sounded, and it seemed like it held me responsible, and it made you have some type of value in what was being said, you know, and it hopefully established a little credence with you to say, well, you know, this person, this brother, you know, less the title, you know, not because I'm an imam. I'm genuinely concerned for my fellow human being. It's easy to say that. It's hard to really be about that. But when you understand that the religion is, that's the one of the number one requirements of the religion. You help your fellow man, you love your fellow man. You try to take your fellow man out of person or individuals or male and female, I guess I should be saying, out of the dark and into the light. And by doing that, you're serving the creation or you're serving the creator of the creation by serving humanity. But that won't keep up because it can be very frustrating talking to people and realizing those who need the most listen the least. Spell, so to speak, that we're under, it's not that powerful. You know, in scripture, it's called a spider web because it's very intricate, it's very deceptive, and it portrays one thing, beautiful looking, you know, where it's weaved and how it, you know, and how it blows in the wind and gives and takes and blows and catches the little animals or the creatures, I guess you could say, the little insects that it's designed to do. And the more you try to get out, the deeper you get in. So, and it's been around a long, 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 long time. And from what I read about, the little bit that I read, the spider was on the sea, on the water first, then he came on land. But that doesn't really necessarily matter. The main point I'm saying has been around a long time. And you know how we say something like that? We say since the beginning of time. You know, so he came when everything else came. He was right on board. You know, and I'm sure we could say that about, you know, the water animals, the cockroach, and all that have been around a long time. And we can say million years, billion years. After some point of looking at it, it sort of loses its emphasis or loses it, you know, it being power. I think that's the word, yeah. So, you know. But, yeah, that has been with me and has served me and have invigorated me and made me feel committed to not just come on and do Mickey Mouse, not come on and put in my hour and a half and share a little bit here and try to share a little bit there and feel pretty comfortable that I, you know, gave it my best. When I say to myself that statement in front of you and witnessed by anybody who else is on with you, or even to myself, my ears are hearing what I'm saying, just like you are. You with your ears, you're hearing what I'm saying. And you should hear a commitment. You should hear a seriousness. You should hear someone who has done this and recognizes what they're saying, and they're not overstepping their limit. You know, sometimes we overstep our limit, can't deliver, you know, have no idea. I was talking to a young gentleman this morning. He's just started to work there where I work. He's working in the dining hall. And I saw him bent all over his computer in a position that he really doesn't really want to do, but, you know, that's what he does because he's on his cell phone, and he's doing something on his cell phone that he's really committed. So I asked him what was he doing and what was preoccupying him like that. And he said, I'm looking at slides for Spanish. I used to study it real well, and I got away from it, and I need to pick it up again because I want to utilize it to do A, B, C, or D. I forget what he went on to do with it. But he went on to tell me a little bit of his story that how he ended up over there as a dishwasher versus this student that got a honor roll student. And he got a scholarship to LSU, and within, he only went 1 year and he dropped out. And he was telling me, seems like studying and doing what he needed to do to get a little further in life and what he told himself he wanted to do was no longer the case. He didn't have an interest in those. And he thought, if he was truthful with himself, that he thought the honor roll student was going to take him all the way. He thought, I'm good. I'm making good grades, and all I got to do is keep doing that. But he had interest. He had his parents encouraging him. He had a few friends. And all that changed when he went to the college because he got exposed, or he had the kind of situation where you had to have motivation. In school, they I don't know if they still get you for being missing and come and get you, you know, like they used to. They used to come and get you, loitering. You can't do that. You had to go to school. And it was serious. I mean, you know, they had a connection, and you know, you couldn't just not go to school because you decided it was against the law. You know, so I don't know if it's that way now. I don't know. I know it's very, very loose, and I do know because I work at the school, very high class school, expensive school. You know. But just like a lot of the private schools and the school system in general, today's child sees it as a social event more than an educational event. And they're trying to get this and do this and impress this and, you know, be with this person. And really the whole framework of it is just totally not educated. If they were to take away all the cell phones and have certain versus what they got, and eliminate anything that's not wholesome, healthy, scripturally sound, you would see a whole different school system. And you wouldn't see that many people in the seats because they want it as long as they can get it tailored to the way they want it tailored. And because this is America, it means they want to have the freedom to do whatever they want to do because they believe that they are intelligent enough, which means they are smart enough to handle this thing called life, and they can figure things out, and they don't need a lot of laws and bylaws and a lot of religion and a lot of don't do this and don't do that, too dogmatic, you know, and give me a little credit and give me a little break from the you know. And a lot of the parents, because it's a powerful force, they are educated. They are sophisticated. We're living in information age and technological age, and it's been around for a minute. And the people who were here on the black telephone and were on the landline, as they call it, where you could walk away from the phone so far and you lose connection. But now you can walk all over. You can walk out the front door and be in the yard and go across the street. If you're careful, you can stay connected because that's what technology has come about. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this to say something I heard Imam Muhammad say on one of his lectures here, and I've been listening to him along with the Ramadan sessions. And this was 1986, so it was borderline as to what is mature, because a lot of what he was talking about was a little different than where we are now. But he did say this, and it's true then, and it's true now. He said, we're a small community. The big guys, they're ahead of us and they're established and they're not welcoming to the new kids on the block. And we have to what? Act like that. We have to build a close-knit, self-contained community that is going to depend less and less on the outside forces and the government and anybody else. Interfaith will be a part of our programs and interfaith will be a part of our programs, but we will really be just showing ourselves to people so people can understand we're not a threat, but we're not here to get your approval. We're not here to be tested and questioned and made to perform or execute or pass the test. And it's very easy to get in the control or into the being captured by the big boys who've been here for a while. And he said it, we heard it, but to a certain degree, we let it happen anyway. And I'm not saying we just didn't even make an effort. We didn't see it coming. We bought the rituals as if they were the thing that was going to save us. We heard what he said, how he said it, and it sounded good. It was kind of a little jingle, you know, recitation, memorization, but very little application. That's what he said. And it's still that way today. We're satisfied. We're taking an approach, and we're learning the Arabia, Fusa, but we're not learning it where we can really expedite and not just be so linear, but be exponential in our growth to take the Quran to do that. The Quran has that ability to do that, but if we just learn it and learn the grammar associated with it and go to the dictionary, we can find a trilateral thing, and we can do that. And then we know really better off than the Islamists in the present situation now. It's lacking, it's feeling threatened by Islamophobia because it's not taking a leadership role. It's not taking a role of confidence because we're being threatened by people who are in charge. They are making the scientific moves. They are getting the science and technology in place. They are educating and getting people in a position to have a job and, you know, whatever. Now, it comes with debt. It comes with tuition. It comes with a lot of things. It comes with them acting like they're God. So, once again, it's not a good patient place to be. But many of us are there. And we're honest, we're there. A few have understood it. They're applying it. They're benefiting. They're going right through it. You know, it's like we just said, memorization, recitation, application. But even with that, we need to have scholarly people who can get us to have or show us the ability to now unpack what we just said, now apply what we just said, the desired results that Allah wants us to have, the Creator wants us to have. It's not just the beautiful, you know, recitation and, you know, he's got the tajweed and he's got all this and he's, you know, it really sounds good. It sounds different and it has a different influence because your soul, our soul, is hearing what God wants us to hear. He wants us to hear that so we can apply that in the way he wants it to be applied. So when we see something like we saw today with the eclipse in the last few days of Ramadan, it's a big sign. Now, I'm not going to go into what I'm going to believe it is or whatever. I'm just telling you, when you follow the logic that Imam Muhammad and his father actually too gave us, may Allah forgive them their sins and got them to paradise, you notice things like this have a significance, a greater significance than just getting out there and putting some glasses on and seeing the eclipse. That's good. That's wonderful. But why did our Creator do such a thing? What was he directing our attention to? What was the sign that he wanted to share with us? What benefit was he trying to give us that's going to be more than, oh, it's Tuesday now, that was over. Did you see it, man? We made history. Woo, 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 blah, blah. And then it's over. The thinkers, the real scholars, they examine it. You know, they examine it when you got Juma and you got the Eid on the same day, on Friday, both of them on Friday. There's it warrants looking into it, to be studious about it, to see if there is sign and what it is. What is Allah saying with that? What is he saying to us? And we could tell the difference between, you know, somebody just theorizing and someone has sound logic by saying to us, yes, he's doing this because this is something like we experienced before, or this is what this chapter says about it, you know. And we can rest assured that we gave it an examination that most people are not giving it, so we're going to get a result that most people are not going to get. And we have to be cautious. We have to say, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, mashallah, you know. But we don't fail to not do anything. It has a significance. Just the mere fact that you can't even see it unless you've put on special glasses. That means a certain lens has to be made available with a certain film, certain whatever. So you take away some of what that is, and your takeaway is that man did this, but he did it with the influence and with the incentive that came from the Creator. It's being tabulated. I think the last one was 2017. The next one will be 2040 or something like that. But it's consistency in our ability to track it and make the glasses. And it was a lot of other stuff going on. And because, like I said, I'm in a school, so you had the scientists out there with this kind of thing and that kind of thing and capturing this and talking about that, UV waves and all kind of other stuff that the average man was not even aware of. I just saw the dark and the light, and we had made a little curvature like it was going through the different phases of it. And in some areas, it's brighter or darker because it's more total. But the total ones, I think, is very few total. I think ours was 80% was the percentage was what ours was. And it was slowly beginning to lessen. But it got cooler. It did a couple little things that made you know. And if you knew about it, you know, make sure to get your glasses and look at it, and you'll see this beautiful thing that's just taking place in your lifetime while you're fasting, and you stop, pause for the cause, and see the glory of Allah's creation through the lens that allows you to see it, and you see this thing that happens ever so frequently. The next one, like I said, I think 2040, is 16 years from now. So much will have happened. We look at it again, and I'm sure some of the stuff that we saw this time, we might see something different next time. That's generally the way it is, especially if your mind is open to that. We have to approach life with an open mind. And that don't mean we just go for anything, you know, be open to anything. No. Scrutiny is there. Being circumspect is there. Look at it more than one way. Look at it and draw several opinions. Don't just leave your little opinion and think that's the end-all, be-all. When we can get involved with other people, it's to our advantage. Other what kind of people? Like-minded. See? It identifies the people that you want to involve yourself with. Because other people who may not be like-minded, they may have another agenda, and it doesn't maybe include the Creator. It doesn't include His will. It doesn't include His words. It doesn't include His way. It doesn't include doing His work. But we don't want. That's not what we're looking for. And we shouldn't have any problems letting them down gently. That, you know, it's a little bit of non-mixture, a little oil and water, a little. I'm going right and you're going left, and we can agree to disagree. Isn't that what the scripture says? That's a position. We don't know what might happen 5-10 years later, but presently we're not in agreement with that. And we have the courage to not appear adamant and saying they're going to hell. Or no, we are agreeing to disagree. I mean, I'm not totally saying this, and I'm not going to totally let you say that, because everything does happen for a reason. But what we don't include in that statement, but it might not be the reason that we think. And the reason that it might not be the reason that we think is that we haven't gave it enough thought. We haven't examined it, flipped it over on this side, turned it that way, put it here. See if it was this or was it that. Because sometimes we mistake this for that or that for this. And when you have it right, then you know how to put the emphasis, you know how to communicate it. And when you have that ability to make the communication,
life doesn't turn into a bunch of conversations about with explanations or the blame game or too much emotion. I want to be right. I need to be right. I'm going to hang on the man. He has a challenging mind, so I'm gonna disagree, and I'm gonna wear him down and get him on my side. No. No. Examine what he's saying or what she's saying, why they're over there, and see the legitimacy of that. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And then look at the rationale that the Quran tells us to take. Look and see if you can see what they see. May not be as big a magnitude that you're giving yours, or it may be a greater magnitude. Because it's not either one of ours. It belongs to Allah. He's sharing it with us because it's part of our inheritance. But he's not ensuring it with us for us to get the big head, claim and anoint ourselves sheikh or imam. That's not why he's doing it. He wants what he just shared with us to be given to the world. He wants some light shed on this particular subject, this particular topic, this particular principle, so that the world that's in the dark now can come out of the dark with the assistance of the principle that you all just explored. And that you almost got to arguing about where the effort would have been lost, the energy would have been misplaced, because it would have been, most of the energy would have been spent trying to convince the person to see it like we saw it. When what you do is say, that's interesting. I never thought about that. Let's put that on the table, or let's put it in behind us so we can come back and look at that again or talk about that again. And have what? An open mind. It's not about me converting, convincing, cajoling, getting the consent or the confirmation from somebody. That's the richness of a conversation, an open-minded conversation, who are trying to be rightly guided by God or rightly guided by the creator. Because it's there. I just mentioned it before. It's our inheritance. It's what he promised he would leave so we could get to the promised land. Without thinking, it's geography. It's not over in desert in Saudi Arabia. It's not over there in Egypt. It's not over there where they're fighting in Palestine. It's not that they're fighting and killing and slaughtering and doing all this over some property that doesn't even belong to them. And it doesn't have the significance that they think it has, because that was then. The covenant has to be kept for you to keep the position that you're killing people for and telling people, this is a position for me. I can come back to it anytime I get ready because God promised me this. But when you read the Quran, when you read the book, the last book that he sent, he didn't promise. He consented to allow us to do this, that, and the other. But once we didn't meet the needs, and then we have the boldness to position ourselves in the text as if we're more prominent than we really are. And it's the consequences for that. And we get exposed to those who do it and those who get tricked by those who are doing it and how it's perpetuated without having been there with them behind closed doors when they did it. That's very important that we understand that's a weapon. You can tell them the nature of their the nature of their scheme without having been there when they were scheming. They will recognize right away he's getting it. He's being enlightened. Well, let's try to buy some time. What are they going to do now? Distractions, 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 distractions. And after a while, you get onto it and you say, oh, this is part of a distraction. This is a dead-end street. This leads to nowhere. This gets us nowhere. This is race, to the human race, is racial. It's ethnicity. It's tribal. And it's not the bigness that Allah or the Creator tells us we have to go when we're approaching it. See? Earthly, heavenly, universally. If it's of that magnitude, that's where we got to go with it. And in fact, he's equipping us to be able to go from the heavens and the earth to the universe. You're going to see what? Tawheed. Look what you got to do. You got to heed it. Once you see it, you can't ignore it and say, oh, well, yeah, that'll come to me later. I'll use that later. No, right now, stop. And make the connection to the other connection so you can see the oneness of it all. Now it's beginning to take shape. Now what looked like a cross has become, when we go full circle, a circle. Now what looked like it was vertical or horizontal, but it actually was vertical. Now we're seeing a difference between this and that. So just that alone is giving wisdom to the person who just has knowledge. They say amen, or they say hallelujah, or they say Allahu Akbar, because that's what the leader said. But in the end of the day, when after the prayer's over, you do what? Stop and lead yourself. So what does that mean? It was intended. It doesn't mean you're supposed to coup d'etat the imam. It means, one thing it means is that you're supposed to equip yourself to be able to save yourself and save your family. If that ain't happening, then you got to call the imam and you got to say, what did he say now? He said, I can't even remember what he said. See? You can't remember what he said because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You listen to the khutbah. You hear what Allah wants you to hear of the khutbah. And then you begin to apply what was said in the khutbah. And you praise Allah for the khutbah, and you thank the imam for what he had to say about the specific topic that he was talking about. That's the way it works. We have to work to get to be the rightly guided. The guidance is there. Where are we at with the guidance? Are we still back in kindergarten? If we examine it and truthful with one another, are we up to the level that we need to be? Are we going through the transition of recognizing just being good is not good enough? The devil is very deceitful and deceptive. The job that we have to do is a lot of work, generational work. You know, work so difficult or so sophisticated, it's going to take God's help for us to even bring it about. God has to touch the minds and the hearts of the people for them to see what we see, the rightly guided. We're not trying to do no scam. We're not trying to sell no bill of goods. We're not trying to tell you how to think. We're simply cutting on the light, sharing the light, and see if you see what I see, and let me see what you see. What does that do? That lessens the grip and the power that the Shaitan has over us. He's really no match for us once we get to that stage. Now, he's not going to stop trying, so that doesn't mean just because we see one thing, he stopped. Okay, I'll give up. Y'all got me. No, it's not going to be that easy. And if it was that easy, I don't think we would really have the commitment that we needed because it was too easy. It's difficult. It's uphill. I say legs and lungs. They have to be developed. A sense of commitment. A sense of patience, you know, a sense of believing in what has not yet been seen, going with what you know before you don't, going with what you are trying to understand what you don't know. So it's what are we doing? We're using the known to hear and understand the unknown, and we're using the unseen, we're using the seen to deal with the unseen. Master keys, master approaches, yields us by using something simple to understand something complex and then apply it and see the multiple applications that it has. And we move from knowledge to wisdom because it's internationally applied. It helps us better see that the little identity that we have, calling ourselves Belarians or being African Americans, it pales in comparison to be a part of the human race and letting that be the ultimate major identity, where the minor and the secondary identity is the tribal label, the ethnic label. It doesn't go away. It doesn't not be uplifted, but it's not the big picture that's going to take us where we need to go. It's not going to let you share with your fellow brother or your fellow human being because you haven't recognized him yet. He hasn't recognized you. And like we do when that happens, we're looking at the messenger and not the message. And what happens when we do that? We don't get the full benefit because we're looking in a way that says he don't look like he got that, or she don't look like she could do that. And we miss on a saying that's still around. It still has power. It's still worthy of putting into the process. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. You might as well put never, 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 never in there. But yet and still we do. We attempt to look at something with our limited knowledge and our small-minded approach. You know, they tell you with a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. You're going to make assertions, you're going to make assumptions, and nothing could be further from the truth. Because we did it with limited amount of time, limited amount of resources, and not really sincerely looking for an answer versus having to look at our answer and say, you know what, it ain't holding up. I need to let it go. Or ego comes, boop. Man, they're going to laugh, you know, and think you don't know nothing, man. You supposed to know religion, man. You woo-woo, you supposed. No. That's not a friend talking. That's not somebody you want to listen to frequently or at all, because they're allowing you, or you allowing yourself to become petty, low self-esteem, and wanting to be looking a certain way and impress people in your ability, when you have real knowledge, when you really have attained an education, you don't have to impress anybody. What you have immediately does what it does for the people who have it. It empowers. It takes the power back that you're giving to the other situation, or to you giving to the other person, or you giving to a dead-end conversation. Is going on and it's happening and it's being progressed and put forward because of ignorance on our part. Too much emotion on our part. And then once we get into it and we start defending and defining what this explanation that people, no, you don't get, no, here's what I'm saying. But wait, no, but stop. Stop yourself. Why are you trying so hard to win the conversation? Why has the conversation turned into an explanation? And be truthful, be honest, be upright, wanting to get Allah's assistance through what the Quran says. Never would I change the people until they change it themselves with what is in their soul. That says is that you're not losing. You're not a failure because you didn't quite understand the depths or the application that it has. It's broader. It's that, but it's broader also. And that broadness that's coming takes it to another level. It illuminates the situation in the area, and it gives you us a side, or it gives us a view that we didn't have. And embodied with the view, we can see all sides, and we can see why. Oh yeah, oh okay, yeah. I can see now how I was leaving that out. I wasn't shedding enough light on it, So it was in the dark, and I was in the dark about it. But now that I'm ready and have gotten a better education and a better grasp and more enlightenment on the situation, I can see, I can agree with it. I can let it have the power that it has. See, but if we get involved in it, thrust in it, and we get our ego in it, or our self-esteem in it, it's hard to let go. Because that's an emotional state. See, an intelligent state lets the intelligence take the dominance, if you want to say. It takes the lead and it stays in the lead. And when we do have a question, it's not questioning. It's just the simple power of a good question. It's the next question that needs to get asked. Okay, so now if that's true, then what about that? Can we say that, or can I say this about that too? The duality that I'm posing now. Or have I went off on a blind chase? Have I let my emotions get the best of me, and I'm over here in left field, and that's out of bounds? It's not providing me with the position that I need to have to see it in the context that it's being given. Now, seeing that is one thing, but seeing it and understanding it, saying it when it needs to be said, is the thing that we're looking for. Now you got a tool that helps you do the heavy lifting. Now we have a tool that helps us do the heavy lifting. Because you're going to run into situations where you need a tool because of the magnitude of what you're dealing with. You need to be able to unpack some stuff, and it's not going to be easy. And while you're unpacking it, you don't want to lose sight or lose the speculation that you had made earlier before that. So you put that on with the new, and now you got a full circle of view. You got a big picture of view. And that's what we're looking for, because we're not looking to make this work too hard. We want to work smart. We don't want to just say we got it or we can get it. We want to have the leverage to get it, and we want to be able to give it to somebody so we can tell them this is going to allow you to work smarter, not harder. This is going to open doors that you didn't even know were there. See? And now, same conversation, because you got it, furthered your education. We furthered our education. So other things, the other conversation was slowed, and it was time-consuming. It was frustrating. And it didn't really get anywhere because it was a dead-end street we were going down with good intentions. Intentions were good, but we didn't have enough light on the subject, and we weren't willing to let another source come up with the light, or someone who saw something different that we didn't see. Ego won't say, oh man, it's not a good idea until it's my idea. Now, if that was my idea and I was saying it to you, I would be expecting you to do it. That's not going to get it. That's a hindrance, not a help. That's a spot in your life that you need to outgrow, that we need to outgrow. And we can recognize it quick enough to say, get your ego out of the way. Get your self-esteem back up to the level. No one's going to put you down. No one's going to make light of you. And if they do, it's their problem. They're making the mistake. We don't get what we know so we can beat people up, so we can bully people, so we can speak down to them and lift ourselves up. It's not what it's for. And when we utilize it like that, we are going to lose it. If you use it like that, you're going to lose it. Allah doesn't give us ability for us to intimidate people, to make fun of people, to judge people. He doesn't do that. You can examine and have your own opinion, but what do? We qualify by saying, but Allah knows best. We plan, and he's already planned. See, isn't that refreshing to have that explained to us of how it really works? You late to the party, and you want to do woo-wah-woo. No, step back, move back so you can see clearer, and realize you caught the tail end of the conversation. See? Once you get the front end and the back end, the duality of conversation kicks in. See? That's why the program, I used to listen to it so much because it was so interesting waiting to see what the rest of the story. That was my program. I forget the gentleman's name. He's dead now, but his voice was so, he would leave you, he would whet your appetite. He'd tell you this fine story. He said, but now I'll be back from break and we'll hear the rest of the story. I mean, you heard one side, but now listen to the other side. And then you won't necessarily have to feel like you have to take sides, but with that more enlightened look, with that deeper perspective, you're giving more thought to, hey, I think this is a case of not either or, but and both. And you can make your inquiry, what do you think now? What do you suggest? What are you feeling? What is your logic telling you about that? And if they're true to their logic, and it's true that we were making a mistake because we failed to have enough perspective about it, or we failed to go to the depths that we needed to. So we were getting one, and we were going to be satisfied with it, but as we dig a little deeper, this has to be said about this. This is a better approach than that. That one is good, but it's not going to last. Because one thing is too dogmatic, and the other thing is too forceful. You're forcing people. You take the person to the water, and then you want to force them to drink. You want to tell them how good this is and how much it's going to benefit them. Not if they're there, not there. It's not. All they're going to hear you is trying to dominate them, force something on you that the Quran tells us not to do. He says it's not knowing compulsion. You don't make Muslims. I make Muslims. Everybody's born a Muslim. They don't want to stay a Muslim. That's on them. Doesn't matter how good Allah allows people to not believe in him and to not accept what he has given or has to offer. He said, if you don't, then I will leave you there. Not because I'm mean or I'm chastising or I'm punishing. I'm doing what you say you want. I'm giving it to you. You want what they have to offer. You want you to be able to have that option in what you're doing. You can't have an option when it's not available because you haven't done anything to get the option. I've done all the creating, all the evolving. You there to witness all of that, and then you want to talk about Eureka, look what I found, or look what I did, or look what my friend did. Once we have what it takes to address those kind of feelings, which is taqwa, you don't want that. You don't want anything to do with that. You got a Lord and all systems of knowledge in all situations. He's saying, look, I got it covered. All you got to do is be humble enough to follow the lead. Nothing but good can come out of this. Much more than you could even imagine. So what's the problem? See, that's essentially what he's saying. I can understand 2 years ago, but now you're still questioning and a little doubt done come into the picture, or a little bit of interjecting something that sounds appealing, but it's not considered the source. And consider the last thing we hear and we obey. We didn't say, well, wait a minute, though. How come, I can't understand how come, because it seemed like, and the next thing you know, you done got right in the hands of Satan. He done got you where he wants you. He got you questioning, got you a little dissatisfied. He got you where you got questions and you won't answer, otherwise you're not going to. It's been good up to this point. Now all of a sudden, it's not so good. You want to question it. And I'm not saying don't have questions. There's a big difference from having questions and questioning it. See? The doubt is on the scene. The fear is on the scene. See? Both of those come from a source that using doubt and fear to get you to say something or feel something or think something that's not going to help you confirm or conform the way you're supposed to. It's going to make a totally good thing into a bad thing because now you got armed with what I got. What seemed like, no. If you do it, like I said before, make it a question and not you're questioning. That ing is what's triggering the unacceptable part of it, the unexcusable part of it. See, how can you question God when so many blessings and have come your way as a result of reading and believing what you read and applying it? See, can't go wrong. You want to be the boss with the hot sauce? That's what you got. That's what comes with it. But you look at it from another perspective and say, you know, hallelujah, I wouldn't have been where I'm at now if I hadn't did what I did. And that was submit. Turn my face. Turn your face. See? To get the right orientation. And now you can move with confidence because you qualify. See? Competence produces confidence. Anybody can say they got it, but it don't manifest itself until the situation changes and favors. You see, how much of the favors of the law will you deny? And favors the people who are making the request. In fact, if you read a little bit, the number of times that it said it was a little bit ahead of your question. It was just waiting on you to ask it so it could answer it and give you what you wanted. Now that you know you need it. That's a good predicament to be in. I didn't even know I needed it. And I'm getting it. I must be doing something right, huh? Ain't that a good feeling? Yeah. It's like a Clyde Rockman, Iman Clyde Rockman used to say, help yourself. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a statement that gets you on the tape, but it's a little bit of Holy Ghost there, so maybe Tech Beer would be better. But you know, may he rest in peace. We have had a lot of pioneers come and go and really lay the foundation and really absorb some of the pain and pressure that we didn't have to absorb because this is a progressive religion, and it progresses man forward. It does that. It evolves man to a different height, a different level. And it's unendless. That's the thing that we have to understand. Who would have thought we would be living in times like this and then have to say that the best is yet to come? Because that's true. We may not be here to see it, but the best is yet to come. And some people think this is good as it gets. No, it's not even close. It's not even close. How many people can say that and really show other people why they're saying that and that it is so true, it is so much a factor what people believed? You got to believe, and as I kind of come to a conclusion here, you got to believe that there's something after this. But it takes going through this in order to qualify for that. And we don't want to be guilty. I think about this sometimes as it relates to me. But whatever relates to one human being relates to another human being. That's what makes us all human beings. And the question I ask myself sometimes is that don't get this far in life and have gotten this far off of what you know to be the truth. and all of a sudden you start dropping the ball or doing something diametrically opposed to it. Because whatever, you know, you let one of your appetites get out of control, or you saw something you didn't think was fair, or you're questioning why is it taking so long, whatever it is. We're in a stage of life. I know I'm in a stage of life where I don't know how many more tomorrows I have. But how many ever I have, I want to make sure that I'm praising Allah. I'm showing confidence and accepting the kind of criticism. Yeah, that's the word. It's not constructive, it's criticism. People are being critical of what you're saying and what you're doing. You're fasting again, you still can't eat yet? No, it's not happening. It's not like that. This is a conscious choice. See? And I know you might not understand it, so I'm not going to try to explain it. But no one's holding me hostage and making me, brainwashing me to where I won't eat food for 30 days. This is not that kind of party. Not. I've been doing it too long. I've been benefiting from it too long. I've been establishing myself in the way I'm doing it and doing things and living an affordable lifestyle, getting debt-free, learning the little bit of Arabic that I do know, and then going back to school or going and putting myself in school to get more of that, have that unpacked a little bit more. So that I'm ensuring, hopefully, that when I do finally have that last day, tell my Creator, as he would already have seen, I was trying to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And I knew in order to do that, I had to get a little more dressed. From what I'm hearing and from what I'm seeing, we haven't even come close to what we could be attaining. What do we have to attain, maintain, sustain, you know? And once we do that, the results come and the joy comes. I'm so happy I did that. I'm so happy I didn't stop that. I'm so happy that I recognized that. And it goes on and on and on. Because there's so much to know. And once you find out the declaration, it's a no-brainer to make it. So that people will know that not only is this a beautiful time to be living in, there is something of greater value coming after this, but you got to pass the test. You got to come under the test, you know, that you said, if you know, if that was your strong point. Right? Isn't that fair? I mean, we said we're going to do this, or we can do that, or if I was living there, I would do that. Okay, let's see. And it's like it keeps us from tempting fate. It keeps us from being braggadocious. It keeps us humble. And that's just a position or a personality or actually, what's the word? A mindset. It's almost as good as being called the best. Because you won't go to an extreme. You won't find yourself promoting yourself when all the praise is due to Allah. You won't find yourself questioning or angry or frustrated or upset, because when comes the help of Allah? He asked us to wait then, and he's asking us to wait now. And he's telling us it may not happen in your lifetime. But there is a life after this one. And if we believe in it, and if we believe that some of the wealth and some of the understanding and some of the riches and some of the questions and some of the requests that we ask for, we may not get it on this side, maybe on the other side. But we know the Lord and Creator that we know has made a promise that if you do what you're supposed to do, I will do what I'm supposed to do, and it's going to be way more than you can even imagine. So why not do it in a way and wait on it before you see the whole truth that it's going to happen? You believe it and you've seen it, little beeps and pieces of it, whatnot, but no whole pieces, just no big corner pieces that really show you the picture, show you getting it, you know, like the basketball, women's basketball team that won last night. They felt like it, that they had what it took to win, and they did. But when they did win, you can say what you want about her. She acknowledged the big, played a big role. And before she get any award, she want to thank him first. So what do we have to say about that? Allah knows best. No, you know, is she just trying to fake the funk and declare God, say God's name out so she can look like a God-fearing person? Or is she a God-fearing person? See? I don't know. And I'm not trying to make a statement on it. All I'm saying is that that's the statement you make when you've done something of that magnitude, because you couldn't have done it without his help. And when you do get it, when you do win, and when you do get the award, you got to acknowledge him. At least it's best, I'll put it like that, so that the world will know that when it comes to this, that, and the other, I acknowledge the creator of those things rather than claim some kind of victory for myself. Because that's where it should be. That's where it has to be. For us to have the humility to get all these wonderful things and not let it go to our head. You got it. Because you did what it took to get it. You qualified for it. And you have to keep qualifying. You have to keep doing what it takes to get it for you to continue to get it. It's not yours. It's not. It doesn't belong to us like that. When I mean belong to us, we can't produce it. It has to be produced by him, and then he shares it. And then we give him credit and thank him for being such a good, loving God that he will share us and give us, even though we might not have done what we think qualify us to get it. So let me conclude. Conclude and open up the phones if anybody has a question or a comment. I appreciate hearing it now, and consider the time that we have left, and consider that maybe more than one person. But that's where we are now. Anybody have a question or comment, we'll open up the lines for that, and we welcome it. If not, we're going to conclude and try to give an idea of what's going to be coming in the coming days behind us and go from there. So, I see 314-833. And Denzel said, my man, is going to have a word or two with us here. So, alhamdulillah. Let me get over here. Hit the switch. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam and Ramadan Mubarak to you, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to our very astute radio listening audience, IWDM Radio, Mark Shaheed from the STL, the gateway city of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, and that simply means that all the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. I really enjoyed your outstanding presentation, very substantive, thought-provoking always. And, I've watched sports for many, many years, as I know you have too. And I'm under the firm belief that oftentimes when you see champions and championships won, and if it's a team sport, the star player, actually answer the bell, and the winning shot, the winning score, the winning home run, or whatever the sport is, or even if it's an individual sport, oftentimes, such as boxing or tennis or golf or what, and you actually hear an interview afterwards with the star player or the one that has won the championship, and they begin to acknowledge God as they know God in that regard. I personally think it's genuine, you know, for the acknowledgement. I do, because I think that they have realized, I-Z-E, I'm talking about real eyes, which is a play on the word E-Y-E-S. They have real eyes to know that they was in some deep competition, you know, but there's a higher power that helped them, and to acknowledge that. And then often times you hear them say, well, I thank their parents for their part that they played in helping them to become who they are as people see them. But whenever they mention God, I think it's genuinely coming from the heart. Now, of course, we read the Quran, so we know that Allah says, He knows that which is revealed and that which is concealed. No human being can say that they know what's concealed. We may have thoughts about it or speculate. And when you speculate, you could be right, but you could be wrong. But Allah is, He's Al-Alim. He's all-knowing. But I'm thinking that in the sign, in terms of what is said because of what has just transpired in that individual or that team's life in a sport, but to acknowledge God at that particular time when there's a lot of euphoria, I mean, really happy in everything, and not saying so much in terms of what they did, but acknowledging a creator that gave them all that they needed to be that champion or to win that championship, I do think in most cases it's very genuine, because on the other hand, we hear athletes that seem to be arrogant or maybe boastful, and they don't not acknowledge anybody as if and though they did this all by themselves, as though they didn't have any help along the way. In that regard. So I think that's how you can, if you will, as a barometer to kind of distinguish those athletes that really are God conscious. And you often will hear them, because whenever the mic is put in front of them, they thank God first. You know, the legendary boxing champion Muhammad Ali, he said, the first thing I want to do, I want to thank Almighty God, Allah. Oh, he was very bold with it. A lot of people didn't want to hear that. But he thanked Allah, you know, in that regard. And we know he was very, very talented in what he did. And so you can think of other, I can think of other athletes. I never heard them acknowledge God. Never heard them. Of course, we know the real NBA. That we have to always acknowledge. It's not the National Basketball Association. It's natural born ability to be able to acknowledge natural born ability. And that's why Imam Muhammad said confidence is no more than having a rational assessment of your own ability. I love that, because now we can distinguish between what confidence is and arrogance is. Confidence is no more than acknowledging, you understand, your own rational, in terms of a rational assessment of your own ability. So there's nothing wrong with having a rational assessment, not an irrational assessment, but a rational assessment of your own ability. And those are God-conscious people, because it humbles you in terms of the Creator gave me these special abilities. I got a rational assessment. I got a balanced assessment. It is not because I did something special. to get these natural abilities. The Creator gave it to me, you know, and the acknowledgement of that generally to me is genuine. I wanted to say that, but I also wanted to say something about this solar, almost total solar eclipse today. And as you were speaking in terms of signs, it brought to mind the word significance. It's a sign if I can see. It is significant. It is a sign if I can see. And like most things or phenomenons here, especially in the continental USA, oftentimes it's commercialized. People are seeking how they can make money. I was just listening, a local television station here in St. Louis, that in Carbondale, Illinois, a kind of small college town, and Cairo, Illinois. Cairo at one time was a vibrant city and oil. Now it's pretty desolate. Not many people there. Not much job opportunities there. But they was interviewing this man that was a manager of a hotel. And because that was one of the sites where he said you can get a good view of the eclipse and people coming from hundreds and hundreds of miles there. So the interviewer asked the manager, he said, what would a room generally rent for on an ordinary day? He said about $80. But this hotel is filled up. And so he says, so how much are you getting for these rooms for this one night coming to Cairo, Illinois to view something for 4 or 5 minutes? He said $500 to $600. Unbelievable. $500 to $600, you know, for a 4 or 5 minute, what they call a phenomenal in that regard. Now, this ham and some historical context here with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was an eclipse that happened in his time about the age when he was 61 years of age. You know, he lived to be about 63 years old. He became the messenger of Allah at the age of 40. And 40 is mentioned in the Quran. You'll find that in Surah 46:15 of the Quran, where Allah mentions the number 40 in coming to full strength, maturity in that regard. So the prophet became the prophet or messenger at the age of 40, and the revelation came for 23 years before he transitioned. Well, there was an eclipse, but the historical context of that was he had fathered his last child, his last son that was called, he was named Ibrahim by Abyssinian, which now we know as Ethiopia, wife that he had. And he really loved Ibrahim, but he passed right upon embarking right at close to 2 years of age. He had 3 sons. None of them lived past 2 years. First son was named Qasim. And his second son, they were bookend children. He had 6 children by Lady Khadija Rahimahullah Anna. And none of them lived past 2 years of age. But anyway, I diverted a little bit there. But anyway, Ibrahim passed. And on the day he passed, there was an eclipse. Now, it was in that time that were many that was in ignorance, if you will, thinking that when they saw a phenomenon like that, it had something to do with special birth or special death in that regard. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the prayers and peace be upon him, said no. You know, he said no, it has nothing to do with the special birth of anyone or the special death of anyone. If the prophet was trying to remove anything that at that time they thought was magical, sorcery, or mystical in that regard. And he actually went to the masjid to perform what is called a kusut salat. And this is a rare salat because it's not something that actually happens annually or whatever. The next one is predicted to be like 2045. Who knows? We might not even be here around for that or what. But the most recent one was 2017, where there was a partial eclipse in that regard. And even during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they actually still were people, pagan worshippers, idol worshippers, actually worshiped the sun and worshiped the moon. Yeah, you had that. You had that going on even in Egypt and other parts of the world. In that regard. So, Imam W.D. Muhammad, a very scholarly, learned Imam, gave us some insight. You see, well, I should say this first, the Prophet Muhammad, when they tried to get him to stop teaching this newfound religion, and the Prophet said, you can put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand. And he would not stop teaching this religion. And so, you know, scholars have looked upon that. How could he know all this insight in terms of the sun and the moon? Imam Muhammad gave some insight, but for us, because of the law says in the Quran, there's signs in the sky, there's signs in the earth, and there's signs in our nafs, in our soul, meaning that's inside of us. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that the sun represents enlightenment. It represents revelation, enlightenment. And, you know, we know from just the science that if you just take basic science in school, that the moon does not have any light of its own. When we see the moon is only reflecting the light of the sun. So Imam Muhammad said that the moon represents the messenger or the messengers. It represents that. None of the messengers came with their own light. Whatever was seen, you understand, in the messengers came from revelation. It came from the enlightenment of revelation, and that is what is actually seen, you understand, in that regard. And Imam Muhammad also commented that when you see that there is no enlightenment, or the ignoring of revelation where there is no enlightenment for the human being, and you do not see the messenger or the message itself, then you have what was said in the Prophet Muhammad's time, the prayers and peace be upon him, Jahiliyyah. You see total darkness, or what was referred to as the Dark Ages. You see, and that represents...
Brother, it's about nine more minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. So total darkness in that regard. So that's when it is that we see, you know, the whole world, and especially the United States of America, where you have that. So we ought to pray the Kasut prayer at that time. And we pray until that the light, the enlightenment comes back in that regard. So this is very important, you know, for us to know. And all, I just wanted to make that, you know, that comment. I didn't know. I thought we have more time, but I just wanted to share that. That's all. I got to run. But I just wanted to share that. That is the spiritual significance that we should understand that is to be not only in our spiritual life, but also in our social life, should represent something. And we should see the significance in that. Thank you for giving me the opportunity just to say that, because I know that only these type of things, as termed as phenomenos, can be at the top of the headlines in the news and everything. And believe it or not, there are more people that are not Muslims have studied the Quran, extrapolated where Allah has put in the Quran various things, and they have gone to the exploration, you know, to explore, to try to extrapolate various sciences in this natural creation. I'll stop there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Can you give us an update kind of on the programming? Is it going to change Tuesday, Wednesday, or is it going to...
Your production is on a Ramadan schedule, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the evening programs. The pronostication is, and that's another thing, because in seeing the moon, it's the birth of the new moon, and the birth of the new moon is a black moon. So we won't be able to see the new Hilal tonight, of course, but it's strong possibility, very probable, that tomorrow, which is Tuesday night, which also, by the way, is the 30th night. The 30th night when we started. Tonight would be the 29th night. And tomorrow, Tuesday, would be the 30th night. No month in the Hijra calendar, including Ramadan, can go beyond 30 nights. If, in fact, that it is cited, that means that Eid al-Fitr will be Wednesday, and a strong probability that we'll be celebrating Eid al-Fitr, marking the end of Ramadan, but the beginning of a new month called Shawwal in that regard. So after this week for the rest of the program, it will return back to its regular programming next week or later on this week. So the latest that Eid al-Fitr could be would be Thursday, but the prognostication is that it will be Wednesday in that regard. So for those who have been tuning in to your production, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it has been on what we call the Ramadan schedule, and it was designed that way so that we would have a presence on IWDM Radio, not just canceling out all the programs, but enabling those who tune in and listen in, you know, opportunity to get something in the blessed month of Ramadan and still have time to prepare themselves to break their fast, to make their salats, and also iftar with family, friends, or community. That's what we've been doing for the past 2 or 3 years that we've been on. And so after Ramadan is over, then come next Monday, you will resort back to your regular scheduled time, which would be 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time for ABC, our Islam-based conversation with, you just heard it live tonight, Imam Nazim Pasha. And so then Tuesday, it will be the Science of Your Health and Wealth Learning Lab. Now tomorrow, which is, it said would be the 30th night, it'd be the 29th day, but the 30th night. So that means that Rashid Salam and Instructor Abdul Shaheed, they still will be on the Ramadan schedule. Still be on the Ramadan schedule. So Ramadan is not over yet. We're right at the cutting edge of it ending, but they'll be on the Ramadan schedule, so you look for their production at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And then Wednesday, if the prognosis is correct and strong, that it will be correct, Wednesday will be Eid al-Fitr. And so Wednesday is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And it's been a tradition of mine. I don't broadcast on any of our holidays. It's our two holidays. If it falls on a broadcasting day for me, I don't broadcast on it. I think that's a time, whereas with family, friends, and community, that day should be reserved for celebration. And I don't broadcast on Thursday on Thanksgiving, which is on the Gregorian calendar, but it's something that we can acknowledge because for us, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. So those 3 days on IWDM radio, if I'm scheduled to be on, I don't broadcast. So we shouldn't look for a broadcast this Wednesday. However, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab will return the following week at its normal time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. That will be next week if Eid al-Fitr will fall on that day. So Thursday, we still will be in the Eid celebration. We'll have just a one-hour production on courtship and marriage with Khalil Akbar and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And it will be, we'll keep it on the Ramadan schedule, because it would be in the festive Eid spirit, and it would be 1 hour production, and that will start at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast time just for this week. But next week, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab will return back to its regular time. Friday is Salatu Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide, and those who are immobilized can't get out and about to their local messages.
It said 90 seconds, so just you know.
Yeah, but it won't. You don't have to worry about that.
Oh, it won't? Exactly. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to worry about that. You know, even they put stuff there to make us think that, but you got enough grace period, it's not going to click off, but I'll have most of this done.
Okay.
But yeah, So anyway, Friday, Salatu Jumu'ah, you can always come back to our WDM radio with Imam Mikhail Sahir, and you can get that each and every Friday, start at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast time here on IWDM radio. Saturday is the Muslim Book Reading Club, hosted by Imam Mikhail Sahir. It's an honorable first lady and mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. And that starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, is high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast time. There won't be this Saturday, the MGM Roundtable. I concluded that this past Saturday with Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin in dialoguing on, for the seventh year in a row, the theme, Fasting in the Month of Ramadan while Feasting on the Quran. So just know that the MGM Roundtable next week, not this week, but next week, will return back to its official time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast time. On IWDM radio. And then we have Sunday, the longest running production on IWDM radio, Words Make People. Yes, Words Make People. Once again, with Imam Mikhail Sahir out of Indianapolis, Indiana, coming out of Noor Islamic Center. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast time each and every Sunday afternoon here on IWDM Radio. And then that brings us right back to Monday, which you just heard it live, with our very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha, Al-Islam based conversation, variety of topics that are discussed in conversation form, but from Islamic base, and so that will return back to its original time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast time, right here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal that has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. So please keep your subscription up. If you allow it to lapse, pick it back up. The Muslim Journal needs to have a good, fresh start in its new home there in Newark, New Jersey. If you have a one-year subscription, it doesn't cost too much more. Look to do more in 2024. Double it if you can. If you have the wherewithal, become a lifetime subscriber like I have. And actually now the national advocate for lifetime subscribers, Sister Daya there in Atlanta, Georgia, to try to encourage our community, those who have the wherewithal, to become a lifetime subscriber to the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, as I always like to close, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. I want to say assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, and Eid Mubarak. Back to you, my good brother and friend, Nazim Pasha.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. I always give a very clear and current update on what's happening and everything, and I appreciate that. So we're going to conclude with that, and I'm glad my little fears are not to be worried about it collecting off on us like that. But, you know, Allah's in charge, and we thank Allah for and we look forward to the Eid al-Fitr and also the ending of Ramadan, and we pray that you will have had a blessed Ramadan, and we're looking forward to the energy and the effort that will come after Ramadan, inshallah. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa Ramadan Mubarak, Eid Mubarak.